On May 1st, just as the state legislature was set to begin the 2019 budget discussions, thousands of teachers from across the state traveled to Raleigh to rally for a number of legislative causes, including higher per-pupil spending, master's degree pay, and veteran teacher pay. The march was organized by the North Carolina Association of Educators and is a follow-up to a similar march held in 2018. This year, roughly 20 teachers from Cleveland County Schools cashed in a personal day from work to load up a charter bus and head to Raleigh to meet with House Speaker Tim Moore and discuss the issues that matter to them. On Thursday, I sat down with four of them to discuss their trip and their impressions with their discussion with Mr. Moore. The teachers featured in this article are Tammy Porter, a kindergarten teacher at Washington Elementary, Holland Carpenter, a Fawcett Elementary School reading intervention specialist, Laura Parker, a French teacher at Burns High School, and Chris Glover, a science teacher at Burns, who is also the local head of the North Carolina Association of Educators. Thanks for listening, and you can always read more at ShelbyStar.com. So what made y'all want to go this year?
Well, the ones that went last year that I knew were very excited about it and said it was a great experience. And they just encouraged me to try to go this time.
It started at the beginning of the year when we were doing Red for Ed, and we would be wearing the red t-shirts on Wednesdays. My fifth grade students became very interested, and so it kind of created a dialogue about what it meant and what it was for. And so every Wednesday we wore red. My students, they initiated that even they would wear red for Wednesdays. And I felt like I needed to follow through with that, even though this is something really out of my comfort zone, to be able to rally like that. I did it just to follow through with them and let them know that, you know, your voices do count, and it is very healthy to to be an advocate in numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to go last year just because of some scheduling conflicts, so always planned on going this year if they held another rally. Mainly for me, it's over the last few years just seeing like changes in educational policy and seeing things like the classroom size going up quite a bit, and seeing how that affects my students. I felt like the legislators in Raleigh who make all the laws need to not just know the numbers, but they need a personal voice to the story. They need to hear from teachers, and they need the stories of students, the people that are truly impacted by the decisions that they make, not just us as teachers, but my students. And if they're not in my classroom, they don't see how their laws are affecting my kids. So I went for my kids.
Okay. And Chris, we spoke last week about, you know, you feel like this is important just because of, if nothing else, get some of the things back for beginning teachers, some of their kind of pay. How long have all of y'all been teaching?
22 years.
18.
Oh, gosh. Come back to me. Let me do my math.
I feel like you were here when I was here.
Yeah, I feel like it's been 15, 14, 15. Please don't put that in the paper, because I don't
know.
I have to do my math.
Okay.
And mid-career. Mid-career.
Mid-career.
Yeah, I'm not counting my assistant years either, because I would start out as an assistant.
Okay. And Chris, how long have you been here?
29.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did y'all, I know there was like the march yesterday kind of went around downtown, and then it like met, or there was a bunch of speakers, the governor spoke, a few other people spoke. Did y'all get a chance to go to the legislature and talk to anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Who did y'all get a chance to speak to?
Speaker Moore.
And Speaker Moore was very receptive, and we, like I told you last week, we may not always agree on everything with Speaker Moore, but he does always agree to meet with us. And this time, we like his first, or the House's first budget proposal does look pretty good. And there are, of course, a few things we'd like to see in there that's not in there, but he has agreed to increase veteran teacher pay substantially. Okay, so it's going up, you know, somewhere $5,000-$6,000 a year range for veteran teachers. He has agreed to restore master's degree pay.
I was gonna say, after I talked to you last week, I saw there was a bill that made it through the Senate that's already so addressing that.
We're hoping the House, the Senate agrees on that, because of course the governor is going to be behind that. He's going to be behind the veteran teacher pay also. But again, this is the first look at the budget. It's a good first offer to the governor and the Senate side. So we feel like last year's March, we made progress because now we're seeing those things in the budget. So people always ask, you know, do you think you did any good last year with the March? We can see it. We eliminated the super majorities in the House and the Senate, and now we see some good things happening in the budget, especially that master's degree being restored for our new teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were down there looking for. And if it doesn't make the final budget, we'll be back. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We want to see veteran teachers pay restored, increased, master's degrees restored, and per pupil funding is going to have to increase. That's where we're going to get our nurses, our social workers, you know, textbooks, things like that. That comes out of that per pupil expenditure there.
Okay.
So we're hoping to see more of those things in later versions of the budget. It's not in there right now, but again, that's the first look at it.
Do you feel like, you know, with the supermajorities over the last couple of years, the legislatures, the party control legislatures had this ability to just kind of do what they want regardless. They didn't have to. There was a lot of negotiation last year. There was no negotiation.
Right.
If the governor tried to veto it, they could override it without any kind of concern. Do you feel like this year they really have to kind of take some of those considerations into?
Yeah, he actually told us that on the House floor. He took us to the House floor. He said, you know, we don't have the supermajorities anymore. So the governor and House and Senate, we're all going to have to negotiate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats are really involved this year. I mean, it's a different situation in Raleigh. So, like I said, you can really see the effects of that March last year. Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the teachers were energized.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers went to the polls. And has they've really changed things.
Yes.
Y'all go ahead and add anything.
I'm an amen choir. Yes.
So for you three that didn't get to go last year, what was it like going this year and being part of a crowd that size and getting to meet teachers from around the state and, you know?
Well, actually, it was not, like, through statewide organizations and then the teachers that I've worked with before, there are people that I know that I don't get to see on a daily basis that I ran into. One of the ladies that used to teach English here that I'm really good friends with moved to a different school a few years ago, and I got to see her. But it's just, even if it's not people that you know, just seeing other people that we all have something in common. We all care about our kids. We want to see education in North Carolina be the best that it possibly can be. So it's like you're surrounded by thousands of other people that agree with you on this thing that's so important to all of us. And it's nice to see that amount of support for mm-hmm. something that's so dear to each and every one of us.
Yeah, no matter what the culture was, it was like we were all in one accord,
mm-hmm.
that we were all there to stand up for our kids.
And the support for us, because when we marched together, but down the sidelines,
mm-hmm.
we had parents and and their children who their school may have been closed that day, but this was an incredible teaching opportunity for them. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like for you to advocate for yourself. Your voice really is powerful. And so that in itself was just a teachable moment for those folks. And it just felt good. It felt real good.
The kids had signs out there thanking teachers for what they were doing.
Tons of kids with signs.
Yes, tons. And even the businesses.
Yeah, the businesses.
They had signs up. Thank you, teachers.
And they were mm-hmm. handing out water, and some people had snacks.
Yes, snacks.
And water and
mm-hmm. fans.
Yeah.
And fans.
So it felt like a pretty welcoming environment.
Oh, definitely welcoming.
Yes.
Even inside, when we got to go mm-hmm. inside, everybody was so welcoming.
I think that the only disappointment I had was when I got home and I was watching the news, the negative stuff was what was portrayed. And
like, what do you mean?
It looked like there were some arguments between a district and their representative.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a disaccord there. And that disappointed me because that's not what I experienced. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I saw. I think that was just one tiny thing that happened. That was just like a minor. Mm-hmm. I think overall, it was a very positive experience for for everyone, and it was very empowering. And I want people to really focus. We're not greedy teachers. I mean, don't quote me on that. I mean, don't want to say that. We're not. I mean, I don't want people to think that our intentions were about to get money to be greedy. It really was to advocate the needs for these children. We have a lot of children who are dealing with poverty, who are dealing with some serious mental issues, and we've got to have resources. Even though a lot of these things are out of our control, they still impact what happens in our classrooms every day. And I want to be able to have resources available in the building that can be immediate. You know, we need specialists, we need nurses, we need social workers, we need more guidance, we just need
more
assistance. That's the big thing. And you know, I've been teaching 22 years, and you know, back then, you know, everybody had an assistant, and we had powerful numbers of teachers, you know. And then, you know, when the recession hit, you know, positions just kept getting pulled away, and now there's just not a lot of opportunities for some kids to take certain classes because of the numbers. You know, some teachers are having to teach dual subjects. I think, you know, there's one teacher teaching, like, she's doing library and PE. You know, so it's just we need our people back.
Yeah.
And so it's not about us wanting to fill our own bank accounts. It's about doing what's right for these people, because I mean, they're going to be adults one day. And
so then I guess the question that comes out of that, obviously the per pupil spending is part of that, you know, that makes sense, that's advocating for your children, but what about, how does advocating for like master's pay and for veteran pay fall into that?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm going to say the best thing I ever did for myself to be a better teacher was I did national boards and I got my master's. I can tell you right now, I got my master's maybe 6-7 years after I graduated. In those 6 or 7 years, teaching methodology had drastically changed in French. I can tell you, if I had taught the way that I had learned without getting that new current methodology in learning, my students would not be getting what they needed. And not only was it me learning in the classroom, but the students, like everybody in my master's degree, and most master's degree people get, are teachers, people who are currently working. So I have a pool of 10 to 12 people that I know that teach foreign language across several states that I can call and say, all right, I'm having this problem. Do you have a suggestion for me? So it's that built-in networking that you get with people,
yes,
who are also passionate about teaching. So it's providing better instruction for the children because you have better knowledge. And then it's also creating these like career-long links that you have that allow you to keep improving your education long after you get that degree.
Okay.
And the reason that the master's pay is such a big deal is I worked mine out where I did my national boards first when North Carolina still paid for it, and I used that pay increase to pay for my master's. Now, if I was going to do it without a master's pay increase, I would have to take out loans, and I would go into debt that would take me a really long time to pay off with no actual benefit.
You feel like that would dissuade you from trying to pursue your master's?
It would be very hard because, again, you'd be going into debt, and that's not something any of us want. And I think everybody wants to be a better teacher. I know Jessica Wilson that went with us yesterday is in that position. She really wants to be a better teacher. She wants to get her master's. But she said, and her point was, you know, she's single. She doesn't have a family to provide for. But she'd have to go into debt if she was going to continue to take those classes without any additional help or benefit from them. So it's a catch-22.
Yes. All right. And then the last thing that I kind of, that really stood out from what I saw yesterday, and it's been kind of the recurring theme, is the timing of the rally has been pretty heavily politicized, criticized, however you want to look at it. You know, what do y'all think the message is when you say, I'm going to take a day off of school to go and do this? You know, there were some folks, like I was watching it on our Facebook page, that were saying, well, obviously they're putting themselves ahead of their kids, and some folks that were saying it's the other way around. Like, how do y'all justify taking that day out of school to go to Raleigh and meet with Speaker Moore and kind of, you know, say this is what we need?
And I'll just take first, and it's like I told you the other day. A lot of people say, we'll use your summer to do that. The budget's being done now, okay? The House will pass the budget within either today or tomorrow. If items don't make it in the budget, they're not going to be there if we wait to the summer. It has to be done now. The House, again, in earlier years, again, it's 2013, 2015, in there, they were passing budgets after 1 a.m. in the morning. Why are you going to pass, why would anybody pass a budget at 1 a.m. in the morning? There's nobody there to lobby. We can't go at 1 a.m. in the morning and then come back to school. If they're going to do that, that's not convenient for us. We know it's not convenient for our kids. We had to pay for those days. And that's one thing the public may not understand. Every person that went had to take a personal day. We had to pay for those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was that important. You can't take a sick day and go to Raleigh for lobbying. It has to be a personal day. So it came out of our paycheck, but it's that important to us. We've got to get those numbers. Again, nurses, social workers, textbook funding, we had to let them know we need that in the budget. And, you know, I email all the time. I know EDL, I know Laura does.
Hello, Alexander. Got okay.
Yeah. We email all the time. But when you're there in person and telling these stories, several people had stories to tell yesterday with Speaker Moore. He listened. He knows what we need in that budget. So, yes, was it beneficial? Absolutely. Just that one-on-one contact. Again, if they would hold the budget process until summer, yeah, we could go. But the budget process is done now while teachers are in school.
When you say to take a personal day, like, does that mean like it's an unpaid day or was it a paid day?
We pay out of our pocket.
We're going to deduct that from paycheck.
For the sub.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I can't speak for anybody else, but I spent at least 2 hours making my plans for a sub. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
Oh, and then you have to grade it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow and all weekend is giving my kids feedback on what they did.
Okay.
And we leave quality stuff for the kids to do. Like, my kids did something I wanted to do, but I didn't have time to do. I have a little magazine about Notre Dame catching on fire. It's all in French. So I will have tomorrow when they give them to me after I answer the questions today. For me, a good indicator for all three of my classes about where their reading skills are right now going into final exams. So for me, it was a good day to have them do something that was like a little, where are you right now? It was a good check for them. They get some feedback from me, so it's going to be beneficial in the long run. But I had to make all that, and then I'm going to grade it. So it's not like
free day. Yes, okay. We go over and beyond to plan for our kids. Well, I really feel like we do. Mm-hmm. We go over and beyond to plan for them when you have a sub.
It's almost easier to come to school and teach than it is to be out because you have to prepare so much in advance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If this is something that goes again next year, is this something you think you guys will do again?
I would love to do it again.
Yeah, I feel like I have to.
I think having that personal voice, and I mean, it's one thing to send an email, but I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be mailing. Mine tend to be really long, so I don't know if they're going to like quit halfway through. If I talk to you face to face, I know that I'll get to tell you everything that I want to and that point will get across. And as I tell my students, I mean, we all focus on communication so much, and you can't get across tone and passion and love written. I mean, it just doesn't come across to him, does it? And I feel like that's something that comes across better in person. And if that means that I have to take a personal day and pay out of my paycheck to drive to Raleigh and talk to my senator and representative and say, my kids deserve better.
I guess the last real question I have here is, because you talked about your students and like some of their involvement, how you feel. Have y'all spoken to your students about y'all going to this?
Yeah,
I have.
And
my kids
want
to be on the news and talk about them.
Yeah. Oh, they come back saying, Miss Porter, I saw you on the TV. And I said, okay, I doubt it, but okay.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, mine asked me today how everything went.
And I talked about citizenship and that was part of being a citizen, speaking out and standing up for what you believed in.
Yes.
And when you tell them, when they're like, well, what are you going to go do? And then when you tell them it's for this and this and this, and they're like, yeah, especially the ones that have been sick, and they're like, more nurses? Yes, please.
And I told them we talked about lowering class sizes, continue to do that. so that they could get more one-on-one.
They like to see that we not only teach this stuff about democracy, we go out there and we're doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't tell your kids to speak out, to march, and then not do it yourself. You get out there and do it also.
And one of our standards is to advocate for our kids.
That is right. One of the standards is to advocate. That's what we do.
All right. Was there anything else y'all want to mention here before we wrap up?
We would like to really emphasize, our gratitude for Speaker Moore taking time to speak with us. That meant a whole lot to me. I think it meant a whole lot to all of us.
I would say all of us. Yes.
That just really blew me away.
Because everybody was so appreciative of him taking time.
I didn't believe something like that could happen. I didn't.
It was a surprising, pleasant thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good deal.
I mean, because you hear growing up, you gotta speak up, you gotta advocate, you gotta talk to your legislators, you gotta send them letters, you gotta go see them, and I didn't know I could. I mean, I knew I could do that, but to really be seen and for us to really have his ear, and for him to be our audience, it just affirmed so many things for me.
I wished everybody could go. It's such a great atmosphere. It was wonderful. I learned. It was like a learning time for me as a teacher. I learned things.
Okay.
So. I think just the negative stuff that you see in the media about how teachers are just out for money and like we took a day off from work, but the fact that, we're doing it for our students and we care enough about our students that we're actually paying to take that day off. So it's not that... Like Holland said so much, it's not because we want more money in our pockets, it's because we can see where some of the policies are leaving gaps that need to be filled, or there are problems that have been created that probably somebody that's not in a classroom every day is not going to see. And we want our students to have the best, and so if it's we got to get it in the budget, then we'll go in May and we'll pay to take a day and we'll go tell them what we see.